Boom! The Gadget Cast has returned after being off the air for, I don't even know how long we've been off the air. It's been a while, I feel like.
A couple of weeks, something like that. I kind of lost track. Yeah, I think it was like 2 weeks or something. But, you know, the thing is that last week, it was a good reason last week, only because on Sundays, you know, we were only 2 days off before, you know, the announcements would have happened. So it would have made it an irrelevant podcast right off the bat. Like, we would have had to talk about other things.
Yeah.
So that made sense. The one before, I can't remember, something came up. But we probably would have taken off last weekend anyway, just because it was so close to the Apple event, you know?
Yeah, I think you said you had, like, a friend visiting the 1 week.
That's today.
And then
today, but yeah.
Well, I think before even then, you said something like that. And then... last week I just texted Travis. I was like, no podcast. I didn't even explain why, but Travis just went okay. So I assumed he knew why. It was like, why would we do a podcast when it's like the day before the event kind of thing?
Yeah. And you know, we like these, and we're aware that these aren't exactly evergreen podcasts that we do. I mean, some parts of them are, of course, but when you're this close to an Apple event, like, it's either important for a couple days or it's not. So, you know, like this one, it's a reaction to it. So it's, you know, it's a little bit more evergreen than the one right before. So we just had to make a choice. And that's the choice we made. Anywho.
Yeah, it would have been us guessing things days before the event.
Yeah. And, you know, we also can go back and see, like, were we accurate about things? How do we feel about things now? Of course, we don't have the devices yet. We will soon. And the fact that Apple was open to creators being there at the event, which means they have hands-on videos already out the day of, which we haven't seen in a while. So what do you think about that? Like, people actually being there and that stuff. I assume you would have liked to have gone, or do you care about that sort of thing?
Yeah, I would love to go. I wouldn't turn it down. I mean, it's I want to see the new technology as soon as possible. So that's the best way to do it, is go to one of these events. It's not like completely heartbreaking to me that I don't get to go to these events, because it's kind of like, okay, well, I know it's very stressful, like taking the time out to travel and like rejiggering your schedule so last minute. And I feel like, and you know, I look at a lot of other people's coverages, iJustine, like, tremendous coverage, like everything. I'm really interested in that new Apple Watch Ultra that they announced. So I've been like watching her videos, like going over it and like looking at all the design details. So there's some really good videos there. And we haven't had that in a while, because it feels like they just opened up the Steve Jobs Theater. And then we went into like lockdown. Like, I really feel like they didn't really have their game plan going to like do like these hands-on videos. And now that you see that they give people kind of like some like dedicated time, like in like these, like, it's like a massive void of a room, but they get like time there and they get to like do like these product shoots and everything. It's actually really cool to see that play out when we haven't been able to in quite some time. But yeah, I wish I could, and I would love to go one day.
Yeah, and I saw that Sam only got to go because he was Andrew Edwards' cameraman.
Yeah, you know, Andrew Edwards, what the hell? You know, you could have asked Travis to be your video guy. Sam lives in St. Louis. That's quite a flight. You know, Travis could have
done it. Yeah, I mean, literally. Yeah. I live down the street from his house, but...
And I would have done it. I'm better than Sam, so I don't, you know...
I 100% would have had you go rather than me. I don't necessarily need to go. I think the only aspect of that that's even mildly interesting to me is seeing other creators and hanging out with them, because that's the one thing that I really do enjoy, is hanging out with other creators. The Apple event itself, I'm fine to watch it from here. I don't really see the benefit of that. Seeing the products a week early, okay, that's cool, I guess. And if you're really, you know, chasing those views initially, then it's actually beneficial to be there. But as you know, Greg has shown, and even my video yesterday has shown, you don't even have to be there to get dumb views for no apparent reason. You can just talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know if it would even be an advantage for me to go. I would love to go to check out the things early, because there's like a lot of questions I have about the way, we'll talk about this later in the show, the way the new Dynamic Island works on like the 14 Pro. And I'd like to see that firsthand. But I almost feel like if I went, I might be put at a slight disadvantage, and I might not, I don't know. I feel like when you're far away, it's like kind of easier to cover things. I feel like you can watch the event and you're kind of not swept up by the, I mean, you're kind of swept up by the hype, but if you're there, you must be like swept up by the hype. There's so many other distractions. There's so many other creators you probably want to talk to. Like, if you see like iJustine or like Sara Dietschy, all these people, Marquez, you might want to go up to them and start talking to them, like snap a picture. You see Tim Cook walk by while you're trying to get some coverage of the video. You're like, you know, you're going to get very distracted being in that live event. And I feel like me, I can kind of just sit back, watch the event. I can digest everything pretty easily. And I can get a video out faster than these people. Now, they do have the advantage of actually having the device, but it's weird how I feel like that isn't as big of an advantage as it used to be. I feel like years ago when, you know, you would have to have the device to get a lot of views for a video, but I feel like people just value the opinions of other people now, even necessarily if they don't have the device on hands. They just want to hear the general reaction. Maybe because these products are so mature, we kind of know how they work almost before we can even get our hands on them. But I find that people always watch my coverage of the event, even though I technically don't have any like hands-on impressions of these things. They still want to know what I think about these devices or the features. And I find that pretty valuable. If I went to the event, I feel like maybe I would get less views on my video because I would be so delayed in getting it out that I just feel like the timing of it would be, okay, well, that's, you know, 50 other YouTubers uploaded the same thing that you did the day after because that's when you can upload it.
Yeah, and, you know, for me, like, you know, I don't do as much tech anymore. I actually did upload a video. This is the video I actually talked about a couple of weeks ago on GadgetCast. I said I was going to do two videos, one sponsored, which has been delayed for a funny reason. And then the one that I released yesterday, but I wasn't going to release until after I got the phone. But then I saw Greg and I a year or so ago talked about a particular type of video to release every year that works really well. And I saw his release and I'm like, oh crap, I guess I better do my version of that. So I went, instead of waiting the week until I got it, I was like, let me just throw one out. Now you got to remember, I haven't uploaded to my channel in 3 months. That's a long time, especially in tech YouTube. 3 months is like, you've given up. And what's interesting is it got the most views in the first like 24 hours of any video I've done in like the almost the first half of this year, like almost this year period. That just shows the interest in Apple and iPhones that, you know, when you, the way YouTube works, it's really interesting because I shouldn't have been able to get that many views. I should almost get no views because of the way things work on YouTube, but I got a bunch because, you know, the subject is so transcendent. And I was showing someone the other day, if you look at the how many views the Apple event got on YouTube versus the Samsung event, it's night and day. So many people, I'll pull it up to give you the right number. So many people watched the Apple event and are interested in the new iPhone, no matter what tech people think or not. Is interesting. Like, do we think it's just a mild upgrade? Yes. And it is just a mild upgrade. There are some interesting things we can talk about, but generally speaking, it's a mild upgrade. But to people, other people in the world, it's a pretty substantial update. And here's the thing. So let's take a look. The Samsung Unpacked event got 14 million views. Now, that's the August one with the foldables. And you might go, well, the S22 or 21 would have more than that because more people are buying that. Well, that only got 9 million. But the Samsung Unpacked event got 14 million views. And that, you know, that's been since August. In the first, like, day, Apple got 26 million views. So that means there'll be more views coming. It's already doubled the other one. So the interest is so large that even a channel like mine who hasn't done anything can throw something out there and it just, it'd be dumb not to. So the interest is there. And I'm, like I said, I'm not even really excited about the phone I'm getting, which we can talk about here in a minute. But we should definitely talk about, before we get into the things that everyone's talking about, like the watch and the phone, we should talk about something that almost no one's talking about, which is the new AirPods. Like, you don't really hear many people talking about that yet. AirPods sell a buttload every single year. What do you think about the new AirPod Pros?
Yeah, the AirPods Pro will probably sell more units than the Apple Watch and maybe even more than the iPhone. I'm actually really excited for the second generation, mostly because my current pair of AirPods are kind of like on like their last legs. Like, I've just like used them so much that the battery life on them is starting to get like pretty bad. And just like my case is all messed up from using it all the time. I thought it was a very compelling upgrade, though, based on what they said. It's so hard to kind of judge an audio product without listening to it first. But one of the features they were going over was like the noise cancellation is 2 times improved. And current AirPods Pro, I think, have really good noise cancellation. I really don't, I can't fathom how it's 2 times the noise cancellation. Like, that's something you just got to hear for yourself and see if it's BS, right? Because that sounds so BS to me. It's 2 times better, really? I won't be able to hear anything if I have the noise cancellation on. So that sounds great. What they did with transparency mode, with like this option to kind of like, oh yeah, you're like walking, you know, you're walking, you want to hear everything, but then you're walking by a construction site and the guy has like a jackhammer on. Well, our algorithm's smart enough to know what, like, that's a jackhammer. You don't want to hear that. So we're just going to filter that out. Like, that stuff is very compelling as well. Obviously they said they updated the sound drivers in them too, so better audio quality. The case having a speaker in it, so if you lose them and you can play a sound through it. A lot of quality of life improvements that I think are like really compelling. The interesting thing when they were doing this event, which surprised me, they said AirPods Pro was their most popular pair of AirPods. And that was crazy to me. I did
that
not.
That is crazy. That.
I thought the cheaper AirPods would be more popular. And it's kind of crazy that more people buy the Pro models. They're not cheap. They're $250 for that to be their most popular set of AirPods.
Okay. Is legitimately insane. But hold on, Greg, because sometimes the words they choose are really the important thing. Now, anyone who hears that thinks sold the most. That's not necessarily what they're saying, though. They say the most popular. That can mean anything. That can mean the best ratings per sale. That could mean the most money brought in, which, of course, because they're more expensive per. Like, what does most popular mean? It implies they sold more. And maybe that's possible. I have a hard time believing that. But, I mean, let's see the numbers. And by the way, this will come back to bite us in the tail again when we talk about the iPhone battery life. Because they've been using some vague marketing speak this time that they normally don't use.
I'm just going to take them at their word for it, like based on past things they've said. When they say like the MacBook Air is their most popular MacBook, I think that just means in terms of unit sales. But you're right. It could mean, yeah, these are the highest rated pair. These are the pair that people wear most often, as in, you know what I mean? So there is a bunch of things around it. But just in general, the update to AirPods Pro 2, obviously, again, it's so hard to judge an audio product by looking at it. But all the improvements that they made, I think, were like the right improvements that they had to make. Better sound quality, better noise cancellation, tweaks with the features, with transparency mode, the Find My features now with like this huge, like with like their big AirTag network. So I think these look like a great update. I'm glad they didn't raise the price on them, because I was actually thinking they were going to raise the price on them, because AirPods, the regular pair, are pretty pricey now. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to them. I think, honestly, as much as I'm looking forward to the phone, if like I really thought about like what products do I want today, like right here, right now, I think it would actually be AirPods Pro 2 and the Apple Watch Ultra, which we'll obviously talk about in a bit.
Yeah. So AirPods Pro, my biggest thing that I don't like about them is they never really stay in my ears. I've tried a lot of different ear tips and everything. They just don't stay in my ears.
The new extra small ear tips will help, or do you think it's like you need a bigger size?
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know what the issue is. I've even tried like little ear hooks and stuff. I did the Soundcore Liberty 3 Pros, which I really like a lot. They stay in my ear, but they also have like a little wing. And I just wish that they would adopt some type of wing to keep it in your ear. You know what I mean? Or something. Yeah. Or just a different design or something. Like for me, and I know I'm not the only one. I can't be the only one who loses, that thing just falls out of your ear.
Well, actually, Justine, friend of the show, I believe she had a problem with AirPods sticking in her ear, and she said the new extra small ear tips solve that problem. So,
interesting.
Maybe. They did introduce a new size, so maybe that'll help. It's always, again, this is always hard to go over because I've heard complaints about people saying like the original AirPods didn't fit in their ears, the AirPods Pro don't fit in their ears. And if that happens, like, yeah, you're not going to like this product at all. It needs to fit in your ears. It needs to be comfortable. Luckily, I've never had that issue with either model. But hopefully this new ear tip size helps. Otherwise, they are going to have to change the design eventually, because if it's not fitting some people's ears, that's a loss of sales.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's move on to the thing you're excited about. I got my Apple Watch Series 7. I'm fine with it. I didn't necessarily see anything that made me want to go to the 8 or to the Ultra?
The Ultra,
So who are these for? And which one are you most excited about?
Okay, well, let me get the Series 8 and the SE out of the way real quick. Actually, just did a video on this. If you want to watch on the Greg's Gadgets channel, talking about the Series 8 and the SE. The Series 8, for people like me and Travis, I think is it's an upgrade you shouldn't buy, because they introduced like a new body temperature sensor. It sounds cool, but it's mainly, this was actually surprising to me, it's mainly for like women's health. You would think, oh, normally body temperature sensor. Yeah, I could look at my temperature. I could see if I'm sick. And that's not what they talked about at all. It almost seemed very vague. Like, will I be able to see my body temperature readings if I still get this? But they mainly just talked about it from a women's health perspective of, yeah, you can track your cycle. You can track when you ovulate, stuff like that. So for us, I feel like, okay, if you look at it from the Series 7, that's really the only thing they introduced here. And then car crash detection, which theoretically, hey, if you had that watch, you got into a bad car accident, you'd go, thank God I got that watch. But hopefully you never experience that, like that bad of a car crash, you like pass out. So even that sort of feature, you kind of don't want to buy the watch for that feature.
Just
you
for that.
Anyway, like, yeah. So
can't wait to get that car accident later this week.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you have a Series 7, this is probably the most, unless you're like a woman who's like, these features could potentially be like pretty amazing for you. This Series 8 is it's a pretty big disappointment in terms of an upgrade, because it's basically just a Series 7. There's really nothing else there. And that's fine. You don't have to buy a new Apple Watch every year. We should hope that you don't want to buy a new Apple Watch every year. We should hope that these last a little bit longer, kind of like how you were talking about in your phone video. So that's fine. The SE, I really like. I like what they did with the SE. I like that it has the same speed as the Series 8. So that's no longer a determining factor. You're not going to get a slower watch.
That's interesting, by the way.
Yeah, it's the same exact speed, which is great, because that's what they've always done on iPhones. And it was weird when they did the Apple Watch SE, and that's where they sacrificed. They went, we're going lower speed on the watch. And it's kind of like, wait, you're Apple. You always did it the same thing. So I like that they changed that. They lowered the price a little bit, $250. Kind of wish it was $200, but $250 is not bad for like what it's offering. Mm-hmm. And you lose on some of the health features. But yeah, again, this is a budget watch, $250. I think it's like easy to recommend that. I'm sure even like a couple of months, I'm sure that thing's going to be like $200 all the time. Like, you know what I mean? Like when like the third party sales start on like Amazon, it's going to be like a $200 watch, probably going to be like really worth it then. And then you have the Apple Watch Ultra, which is probably the biggest change out of any of these watches. It's got like a whole new design. It's like thicker. It's got like a bigger screen. So like the current one's 45 millimeters. This one's like 49 millimeters. Titanium design, and like a bunch of like other like really like niche features of like, oh, you can use it for like scuba diving, and it has like a depth sensor, and I don't know, like it could like stand extreme heat, like all this stuff like I would never use. They really market it towards like people like running in the deserts, hiking mountains, scuba diving, whatever. But I will say, I think it looks cool. I don't know. The design of it looks cool. The price is expensive, but I think I was actually surprised at how seemingly affordable it was.
Yeah.
I would point people to look at the Series 8 Apple Watch. Go look at the stainless steel version, which is like the more expensive material. It's the same price as the Apple Watch Ultra if you get like a $100 band with it. So it's the same price. And then I think what most people are really just going to buy the Ultra for is battery life. It has double the battery life of the Series 8. And then with a low power mode, which has yet to be like tested and stuff, but and that's coming in a software update later, which is kind of confusing. You'll be able to get 60 hours of battery life. So that kind of sounds like maybe like 4 to 5 days of use with that. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. And I think that's what the Ultra's for. Like, yes, if you're like an athlete and you want like really long workout times and you like the Apple Watch, maybe you'll buy that. But I really feel like this is like most of Apple products, it's very aspirational. It's like, yeah, I can go hike a mountain. And it's like, I probably won't, but maybe I'll go for like an hour run and I'll have battery life left to spare for the next day.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. The SE then becomes, the question is like, if you You don't obviously wouldn't go from the 7 to the SE or to the 8, unless you're just like one of those people that just always needs the quote latest and greatest, even though you could debate whether the 8 is any better than 7. But if let's say you're on like a 4 or a 3 or something like that, and you're like, it's time to upgrade. Like, this is my opportunity. But you can get a pretty good deal on the 7. Or like, what's the difference between like the 7 and the SE? Is the SE better than the 7? This is one of those weird situations. No, I know they're not selling the 7 anymore, but okay, it's not any better than
the only thing the SE has that the 7 wouldn't have is car crash detection.
Okay. But if you have an iPhone 14, then you already have that. So
yes,
if you have that and you're like, I want to upgrade, then you could go, if you get a really good deal on a 7 or the SE, you don't necessarily even have to go to the 8. I mean, you could if you wanted to, but from the perspective of saving money, if it's your time to upgrade, maybe you have a really old 2 or something, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Then yeah, maybe that's the move, because I think a lot of these things, just like in phones, and I say this every year, and people never seem, a lot of people don't believe me when I say this, and then they're reminded every single year this is true. A lot of the software features, a lot of the features that are on any new product that are software related tend to get backported at least one or two generations. And Apple's been really good about doing that. So anything that is technically possible, I don't know if crash detection is or is not. If it is not, then you won't get it. But if it is, you probably will. They're just not going to make a big deal about it until they release it months later. So really, what's the difference? It's really like design and options and stuff like that. But if you're a female, maybe the Series 8 is what you want because of those features. But if not,
yeah,
maybe you just go an older generation. Maybe this is one of the first times where we're like, yeah, just get an older, like get the SE or anything below that rather than 8 or above. It's interesting.
Yeah, if you could find a Series 7 at like a good price point, I mean, that's definitely a strong recommendation. It's always hard to do that though, because you don't know like inventory of like these products. But like, yeah, for now, like as these products launch, you could probably go find a Series 7 at Best Buy for like $100 off. That's going to be great.
Yeah.
The SE, I feel like it might be hard to find a better value than that, but I'm sure you could. Like if you find like a Series 6 that's like $250, yeah, that might be the one to get. It's the same processing power and it has more features, the Series 6. So
on the website.
But I feel like the SE is for like, hey, this is my first Apple Watch. I don't know if I'm gonna like an Apple Watch. Let me try out this Apple Watch SE. It's $250. Or hey, I have a lot of friends like this too, like who aren't like tech people. Like this is how I like gauge like information like this. I have friends who it's like, yeah, I'm still on the Series 1. I'm still on the Series 3. I'm not upgrading yet. And it's like, okay, maybe the Apple Watch SE is a good upgrade for them, because obviously none of these features compelled them yet. They're very price sensitive to these things. They don't want to spend $400 on a watch. If they can get the watch with the same processing power and a bigger screen than their older model, that's probably a smart upgrade move.
All right. I got the comparison up on the Apple site. So let me real quick run through this. So we have the 8, the SE, and the Ultra. Now, obviously the Ultra at $800, we're not even going to talk about that because that's for a very specific group of people. Let's just talk about the 8 and the SE and like the $150 difference between them. And you know, it's up to you whether or not this is something that makes more sense to pay the $150 more for or not. So for the Series 8, it comes in the 45 millimeter or 41. The SE comes in 40 and 44. Both of them are swim proof. Only the Series 8 is dust resistant, which I thought is interesting. That's
interesting. I wouldn't even like buy my watch based on that. You're not gonna have a problem.
Yeah, probably not. But it is an interesting distinction.
Okay, like I really don't know, but
it's an interesting distinction. Like, oh,
it is.
Saren Bites actually says the Series 7's $299 refurb on Apple. That's a great deal. Now here is a difference, whether or not it makes a difference to the person. Because may or may not, maybe you're not used to it. Always on Retina display for Series 8, and then just a Retina display for the SE. So no always on for the SE. That is actually a difference. And another difference, no blood oxygen or EKG on the SE.
Yeah.
So if you are health conscious, and remember, I told you one of the reasons why I'm using my Apple Watch was because of my health issues and stuff. Not terrible health issues, but at least the things I was paying attention to. That actually is a big deal for me. For someone like me, I would be like, okay, that is worth the extra $150. EKG, especially when you see how many people's lives have been saved with that thing, it's kind of like, I'll spend the extra $150. You do still get the high and low rate notifications and the irregular rhythm notifications.
I think the SE has like the most important health features that like,
yeah,
like the EKG maybe, but like the blood oxygen sensor, I've used that for 2 years. I've never found that helpful, but I know helpful, some people do. I know, like my friend has to measure his blood oxygen. So maybe that's different for him, but like, hopefully like most people out there don't need to do like these more advanced health things. What they need is like activity tracking, a heart rate tracker, and the like. Actually, I think one of like the biggest life-saving features for the Apple Watch is stuff like the fall detection. And I'm sure this new car crash detection, if it works well, like you just look at how many automobile accidents there are a year in the US, that honestly might be their number one life-saving feature. Like we might hear like a ton of stories about that next year.
And they're both on both the SE and the System 8, all those things you mentioned. Yeah, the only other difference is that temperature sensing. They both do have cycle tracking. The 8 has a retrospective estimates thing and the temperature sensing. But to your point, the fall detection and crash detection are both on the SE.
Yeah. You know, and so I brought this up in my video. There's something I think a lot of Apple Watch owners are going to use, and This actually comes to any Apple Watch that's Series 4 and above. It's their new low power mode. And that's going to double your battery life if you do that. So it should give you like 36 hours of battery life. I think a lot of people are going to use that because one of the complaints I always hear is like, I wish the Apple Watch battery was longer. I wish I could turn off all these other things. And all I want to see is the time and message people. And I just want a longer battery. And when you turn on that feature, like if you plan to use, like if you're like, yes, I want the low power mode, I'm going to use that a lot. When you turn that on, you lose the always on display. You lose a lot of the background tracking of some of these more advanced health sensors, so I personally don't think I would turn that on. I find that I kind of want that always, like I'd hate to be in a situation where I put it in low power mode and like that's the time where it's like I had like a high heart rate and it didn't like notify, you know what I mean? Like that would be awesome. I would be too paranoid and anxious to do that. But let's say like you want the low power mode, there's really no reason to go for like a Series 8. You should just get like an SE because you lose a lot of like those advanced features if you're going to keep it on low power mode to extend your battery life.
Totally agree. All right. So those are the kind of the differences between those. Apple Watch Series 7. So what's interesting is they don't have it in a way that I can actually pull it up directly next to the SE. It'll be interesting to see if it gets like crash detection and everything as a backwards compatibility software thing.
I don't think it will. In the presentation, they said they introduced like new like hardware. Gyroscope. Yeah, new hardware that would like the way like the watch would like vibrate when it impacts. So I don't believe that would come.
Yeah, likely not. But you never know. They could do some software trickery. You never know. Regardless, so those are the differences between the watches. I'm sure if you're even in the market for a new Apple Watch, you can pretty much tell which one you should get. I think just by those things that we just pulled out. And then, of course, if you're just a nut and you like to go places where you shouldn't go, the Ultra is the one you want. So
Well, that or if you just want a big old Apple Watch with a big battery.
big old honking Apple Watch.
I look at the Apple Watch like the iPod. You know what I mean? Like when the iPod was out, people weren't going, you got to get a new iPod every year. That's crazy. You bought an iPod. You used it for a while. If your battery started to die, if you ran out of storage, if maybe there was like a new feature that the iPod had like four generations later that you wanted, you got a new iPod. But otherwise, like, yeah, just use it. It's not a phone. You don't have to upgrade every year. And by the way, a normal person should not upgrade their phone every year at this point. There's not enough change.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I talked about in my video I released yesterday. I'll be talking more about that when I do my, I don't know if I want to call it a review, but whatever you're going to call, whatever I do once I get my phone, let's talk about the iPhone 14 series and 14 Pro series. So, first of all, most things we predicted, well, I shouldn't say we, but, you know, the whole tech area predicted were true. Very few things were different, except for the what I call the lonely island, because I just like to mock it, but the dynamic island, which is an interesting way to take what was looked like it was going to be an exclamation point and then make it into like a cutout when people were kind of like, that's kind of crappy. And then all of a sudden they did some kind of cool animations that make it look magical. And for sure, people on the Android side of this are going to say, it's just a gimmick, just software. It's kind of dumb. And maybe they're right a little bit, but when you see it in action, it's kind of cool. And more than anything for me, it rationalizes that display and it rationalizes that look and makes it okay rather than it's just there, like it's this big notch or this big hole.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything. What they're doing, and it's kind of brilliant, is Apple's decided to embrace it and go, you know what? We're going to use this area and we're not going to try to hide it behind wallpapers. We're going to do some cool stuff. And I dig it. I got to admit, when I saw it, I'm like, that's kind of dope. And I immediately forgave the little slot cutout.
Yeah, it was pretty ingenious, the whole presentation of that feature, because no one knew this thing was coming. It's like a completely kind of like software feature, even though it's kind of taking advantage of the hardware. So like the leaks never said anything about this sort of feature. And like it's just like the masterstroke of like Apple, where it's like, I don't know, like you watched the event, right? Like you watched it like live? Or did you like just catch up on it after?
I watched it live. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So they're like showing off the phone. They're showing the camera. And all of a sudden, it just kind of like zooms in for a second on this big cutout. And you're almost like left like disappointment. You're like, that's like a big cutout, huh? And then it just expands. And you're like, wait a minute. And it's like, whoa. like yeah, the way they did that, it was almost like there's like a microsecond of me just going, I thought it would be small. Boom. I'm like, oh, yeah. So really good, like marketing by Apple for like that whole reveal. And yeah, this thing looks really cool. The more I hear about it, the cooler it gets, because at first I thought it was like, oh, like they can show you like information, like things like swipe up there, but you can actually like tap on it and switch between apps. You can like press into it and get like more information. Almost like a little small multitasking window at like the top of your phone. And I agree with you. I thought, yeah, they took what should have been. If they just released this phone with like that big cutout, it would have been like the biggest weakness of going with an iPhone. Every person on Android would have went, wow, we have like a way smaller hole punch cutout. Yeah, you got Face ID, but yeah, this is all Apple could come up with after the notch. It's kind of disappointing. They took what should have been a big weakness on the phone and turned it into like maybe their greatest strength. One of the coolest things about this phone, where you look at like the normal iPhone 14 and you're like, yeah, but it doesn't have that cool new dynamic island thing. Like, oh, I don't want that anymore. So I really liked this feature. I thought it was so ingenious of them. I hope I like it when I get it. I think I will.
Right.
And all the slick, I agree. Everything you said was perfect. All the slick animations of how like you like swipe up on an app and it just goes like right into it. It looks like magic. It looks like it's part of the phone. How it expands to show you like timers and other information. Really clever UI design.
I think the important takeaway from this, and Terry makes a good point, like she had a 13 Pro, had no intention of upgrading, but they just did just enough things to make you want it. So she actually ordered. And for here on the West Coast, that's 5 a.m., man. That's brutal. Let me tell you, I was barely awake, got my order in, and then went right back to sleep. The thing about it is that it is, it's about the experience. Does it bring a whole new level of like interactivity and like a great feature that you pay extra $100 for? Maybe not. But with as much as people interact with their phone every day, if you can make that experience pleasant, then in my mind, that's a good thing. So no matter what, even if it's just a little animation or 120 hertz or these little things that tech kind of goes, oh, it's just that. If it makes that experience something you're dealing with many multiple times a day, then it is literally like totally worth it. And I think, you know, for some people, they'll think it's great. I think we'll get used to it to the point where we'll forget that it's even a thing. We might just use it and whatever it is what it does. But I appreciate that they're trying to make the everyday experience, if not always more usable, more interesting, and sometimes more fun. Because again, if I'm dealing with this thing so much, make it something that's not boring or terrible. So we'll see what happens if they allow like third parties to mess around with it or whatever. But again, it was something that was going to be nothing. It was just going to be a big hole. They're doing something with it. And it's hard to hate on that, because otherwise we'd just be looking at a black hole and it's like, okay, it doesn't do anything like anything else that's out there. So I dig it.
Yeah. We'll see. It's one of those, like, as someone who's used like Apple products for a while, it's something that's like playful, and it's like, okay, that's really cool. Like you want to go and use it. And Apple's always traditionally been pretty good at that, where a lot of like other software like Windows or Android, they look at it you know, from like a practical standpoint, I'm like, well, who cares? And it's like, well, but you don't get it. Like, this is something you use. Seeing the animations come out of that thing, it just triggers something in your brain where you're like, oh, wow, like, that's cool. And that it makes you enjoy using the product more. When you use a product that looks nice or operates in a way that's playful or clever, that just that just hits something in your brain and you're like, that's really nice. So yeah, I hope I like it when we get the feature. I really, that is the thing about the iPhone 14 Pro that I really want to play around with, that really seems unique and different. And that's probably like one of the biggest shocks of that whole event was just that. Again, I agree with you though. It's like, we'll probably get used to it in a month and then it's like,
yeah, and then it's like, who cares?
Probably not life changing, but it's still cool. And I'm sure it actually looks useful too, which is what it needs to be. If it's useful, that's how it'll get a strong review. If it's just looks nice, then it's kind of like, okay.
Awesome cul-de-sac by 504. I like that. Okay. So the other thing is, like, not everything's all rainbows and cherries for me. Like, and I know this happens every single year, except for this year seemed to be different. The color schemes are typically superior on the 14 series versus the Pro, because Pros have more like Pro colors or whatever. They moved the blue that I really like, the one that I have on my phone, down to the 14 series, and the Pro series now has more plain colors, except for purple. I'm gonna talk to about purple here in a minute. And I was left feeling like that one iconic color that they always have for Pro, that's always a little bit cooler than just the black or the white or whatever, wasn't there this year for me. I understand that that's the purple this year, and as a GadgetCast, it's always something we pay attention to just in case we want to go to that. But because of the way Apple's colors work, and I mean this on their iMacs, their iPads, everything, you can't really go by their marketing pictures, because it's always different in person. Like, almost universally, you think about the iPads over the last couple of years, the backs of those have looked slightly different. Even the iMacs look slightly different in person than they do in marketing papers. That I couldn't make an educated, I could not order the purple 14 Pro Max because I couldn't tell what shade of purple it would be in my hand. Not what it looks like on the screen, but in my hand. I don't know what it looks like. So I went with the silver, which is like the most boring color iPhone I've ordered ever. And I'm kind of frustrated by that, but it kind of is what it is. Like, I wanted to go for the purple just because it's different and it's cool. But again, of course, I'm gonna put a case on all this, so it doesn't really matter. Probably not. Yeah. But that always bugs me, that a lot of times there's a color in the base series that I actually like better than any of the Pro colors. That was definitely the case this year. And by the way, I would have totally gotten a purple iPhone if the purple was the right shade.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was really debating last minute of going with silver or purple. And I was like looking at it. I was trying to look at like the hands-on videos. Some of the hands-on videos I'd see, I go, oh, it looks kind of bad. Then I'd see another hands-on video where I went, oh, it actually looks kind of good.
So right.
I don't know what this thing's going to look like when I actually get my hands on it. I'm hoping it looks nice, but I decided to go with purple. I'm like, you know what? I change these every year. I want something newish anyway. So I'll go purple. I'll do the GadgetCast color. But I did almost go silver. I had the same thought process as you. I was looking at it and I'm like, I don't know if this is going to look nice. Worst comes to worst, I'll put a case on it.
Yeah. And that's what it comes down to. I mean, I'm getting a case regardless. And the other thing I kind of mentioned this in my last video, this will possibly likely be the last iPhone upgrade I make until they remove the front facing camera hole. Like, and you know, the funny thing is when you look at like this presentation, other than a dynamic island, it is getting harder. And I feel almost bad for their marketing department. At this point, they're all pretty much the same every year because the technology is so good. I think Genosa said this in chat earlier, that they compare the processor to like the A13 from years ago, because they can't even talk about how much better it is than last year's processor because everything's so damn good. It's so damn good. You can't even compare it to last year because you're not going to hardly see any difference. I'm glad that they are making some changes to the camera, even though the camera's always been really good, because I'm using my iPhone more and more for my YouTube videos on my new channel. I do use it quite a bit. Any improvement there, I'm all about. I love that the cinematic mode is now in 4K. That's one of the only reasons I hadn't used it on the new channel. So I am excited about that. So those things, but now I feel like I'm at a point where it's going to be almost impossible for them to get me to move again until they add they remove that front facing hole. Then I'll upgrade. And again, it's difficult because you're getting to the point where they're using the same processor for the first time ever on their new phone from the previous year. Is that chip shortages? Is that just a new marketing ploy? Like, what is it? And like I said before, months ago, it's slippery slope. If the iPhone 14 sells really well, which I mean, it probably will, there's no reason for them to ever go back to the other situation where they use a new processor on the base level of the new phone. There's no reason, because if people pay for it and they're paying for chips that are a year or so older, it's more profit for them on that series of phone because they're not recouping the R&D of the new processor unless you're getting the Pro, which of course you're paying more for. So this is a pivotal year for Apple. If the experiment, which is probably not experiment, it's probably just because things had to be this way, goes well, we have just seen the change for Apple forever, likely.
Yeah, I agree.
So I am still looking forward to getting it, I guess. I'm not excited like I, you know, used to be. When it comes, it'll be cool. I'll just put my case on it. I'll use it for a couple of days. I'll make a video about what I think about it, and then that'll be the end of that. And then I'll just use it as, you know, an everyday thing. The eSIM does have me a little bit concerned, not because of the technology, but because I'm not sure how it works. So I have to when I looked it up online on Apple's site, they said it's really simple. When you get your new phone, it's part of the setup process. It'll be super simple. I'm like, okay, if you say so.
Yeah.
But I'm also afraid I'm going to mess up and I won't have any phone working at all.
Actually, just today before the show, I actually, you can go into settings and take your physical SIM and just hit a thing that goes convert to eSIM. And I just did that. So that seemed to work fine. And it now mine's an eSIM. So yeah. What? So now when I go over to transfer, I assume it'll just transfer all the information. I am mixed on the SIM card thing. I think the SIM card is very outdated technology. It should go away. It is, it's kind of pointless. Like if there's something on the phone that can identify what your cellular carrier is and what network you want to use, the idea of this thing, like taking up like space in your phone is a little ridiculous. Like, why does this exist? It's just a little card that has like this little bit of information on it, whatever. Okay. But what, as someone who reviews these products, if the process of not being able to transfer the SIM to a new phone, if it's not painless, that's going to be a huge issue for me. Like if I have to like when I get these phones, I'm going to get the iPhone 14 Pro Max. I also picked up the iPhone 14 Plus because I thought that's interesting that they're doing a bigger size normal phone this year. And this one has the best battery life. Is that true? Let me see that. So when I'm ready to use that phone, do I have to like contact my carrier? Can I like just go, yeah, I want the SIM on this. Press a button. That's how it should be, right? I should be able to go, I want the SIM on this. Press a button. There it is. I want the SIM on this phone now. Press a button. There it is. I have a feeling it's not going to be that way. I feel like I'm just going to be like, I would like the SIM on this phone. Well, please contact AT&T and we will do it for you at a $30 fee. And it's like, nope. Yeah. Like, I can't do that. Like, I can't be doing that every time. It's like, I want to change to a different phone for 2 weeks for a review purpose. That will drive me absolutely insane. So I hope it's at a point where it's not like that. I hope it's just as simple as, I would like to use this phone today, and I will press a button. Okay, now I can use this phone. That's what it should be. And there's no reason it shouldn't. Because before, all you had to do was just take your SIM card out, put it in another phone. That's how it worked.
Yeah.
Very simple.
And while it was super simple, but kind of a pain in the butt, because you had to find a little needle thing, and if you lost one, you couldn't find... Like, that was fiddly, but at least you knew, boom, done. Yes. Couple, you know, maybe 30 seconds, 40 seconds, right? As long as it's, I don't need to talk to the carrier, I can do it through software, then ideally it's actually better. But we'll see. No SIM was a real disappointment to someone who buys unlocked and likes, I buy unlocked and use cheap providers without eSIM. So some of the cheap, that's true. So some of the cheaper providers currently.
That's going to change real quick if these people can't get access to it. Half the U.S. market, they're going to get on eSIM tomorrow. So I wouldn't worry about that too much. Yeah.
Because it's the iPhone. And as we've said before, whether you like them or don't, as soon as Apple does it, it completely legitimizes it. And any carrier that that it, I don't care how much the you know, it is. A lot of people have iPhones, especially in America. They go, oh, Mint Mobile or whatever. I want to come here. I have an iPhone 14. Oh, we don't do eSIM. Sorry. Okay, bye. You don't get my money. How long do you think it's going to take before they go, we need this eSIM joint tomorrow. We need it now. What is Ryan Reynolds going to say? Ryan Reynolds is going to say, get it done. So, yeah, everyone's going to convert. It's not going to be a thing.
Oh, I believe in like the next 3 years, like no phone will have a SIM card tray. It's just going to be that way. Yeah. Once Apple does it, once they'll get every carrier on board, and then everyone else will go, well, we don't need this either. Like, why are we still doing this?
Yeah. It you know, and in fairness, like, it's true. It's one of those things that's kind of antiquated. I would say this is less controversial than the headphone jack. They could have done this first if the technology had been out there. You know what I mean? Like, this is, to me, less controversial. So
I get the fears, though, because I don't like dealing with any of the carriers. They are like, every carrier is awful. It's a pain to deal with them when you have a problem with anything with your cell network. And I feel like the SIM card was a way of like, well, okay, I know how to do this. I can do this myself. Like if you ever bought like a phone from a carrier store, they will open up your new phone and try and do everything for you. And you always have to go, nope, I'm taking my phone. I can do it. I know how to do everything. Mm-hmm. Don't bother. Yeah. So you have to like wait there for an hour and go through like all this crap. And it's like, I just hope like eSIM doesn't do that. I don't know. It's going to be a weird process. Hopefully it's not. And you can put two different eSIMs on this phone. So it's like, even if you're like traveling like internationally, as long as these networks convert to eSIM, everything should technically be easier, because you can just kind of like pick and choose of like, all right, I'm going to a different country. Let me see what cell networks are available. All right, I'll pick this carrier. Boom, I have it. I don't have to go get a physical thing to put in my phone. You should just be able to press it and activate it. Press it and disable it. That's how it should work. That's what the technology is. It should be better. This whole process should be better. I personally just don't trust the carriers to do that. I trust Apple. Like, we made this great process, but the cell carriers, they want this. There's something bad. I don't
know. Yeah. We'll see what happens. It's early days, and there's always this angst about how it's going to work. But every carrier knows that the more difficult you make this, the more likely you have of someone just leaving. Because all you have to do is have one person talk about how they go to work one day and go, oh, I got the new iPhone 14, but I was on phone for an hour and it sucked. And they talk to their friend, and their friend goes, oh, well, I'm on T-Mobile or whoever it is. And literally all you have to do is put it in and it's on and you're done. And they're like, oh, well, okay. You know what I mean? Like, and because there's always carrier deals to switch. So it's not even about that anymore. Like that, you're always going to get a great deal to switch. So if you can make it super simple for your customer, which most of these carriers I think are going to do, maybe they haven't done it yet, but they will. They don't want extra opportunity for people to leave. So it'll just take time. Maybe it's not ready right now, but we'll see. Anyway, anything else before we head out? There was we can take some questions from the chat. Let's see. Let me go through the chat a little bit, talk about them. I haven't really looked at the chat too much today.
I do want to comment real quick, because I didn't get to say anything on it. The iPhone 14 Pro camera, I'm also looking forward to that. That action mode they showed off looked really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Like the stabilization. I was thinking like, oh, like you could probably get in some like nice, like really smooth, like kind of like dolly shots. I'm sure like for like your new channel, you could probably take advantage of that kind of stuff, like make it look really cool. The 4K cinematic mode, I think that's a huge upgrade. I like the cinematic mode last year. They actually made some improvements to it in iOS 16, but it always just still looked like a little too soft if like you watched it on like a TV or a bigger screen. So I was waiting for that 4K. And I was almost like pleasantly surprised, because I didn't even think they'd do 4K this year. I thought that would take a little bit while longer, but we have that now. And then the 48 megapixels, I hope it's a huge jump for photo quality. I really don't know what to think yet. Android phones have had this for a long time, these higher megapixel counts. Apple's taken quite a while to introduce this to their phone. So hopefully that means they are really confident in it and they're doing some really cool stuff to really take advantage of all that extra information they're getting out of the sensor. And then I do like that you can go into like Apple Pro Raw because as a normal person, if you get this camera, your photos are still technically going to be 12 megapixels when they come out of the camera. Because if you took 48 megapixel shots every time, your phone storage would be done. Like it'd be over pretty quickly. So they do have to balance that out. And they're going to kind of like, I guess they like stitch them together to make like a 12 megapixel photo. But you can go in and do like the Pro Raw and get the full readout of the sensor. So you might actually be able to get some like really high resolution shots and maybe like take like a picture and like, you'd be able to blow that up pretty big. I think they even showed like that in like their ad, like you can like hang that in like a very big photo size. So that's going to be, I'm looking forward to testing that out. That's kind of like the story every year. It's always like, yeah, the camera, that looks cool. So
yeah, let's like see if it actually is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All right, let's see. Jay Maga's here. Good to see you. Danny Black is here. Thinking of trying a refurbished iPhone 13 and trade my 11 in. It's not a bad deal. Some people asking about trade-ins for Apple. They're doing some pretty good trade-ins. I think I got $750 or something for my phone. If I wanted to go through my carrier, I think it goes up to $1,000, but it seems like an extra step that I don't really want to take. Let's see. Exactly what it should be. No SIM was a disappointment. Okay. So we saw some questions about, well, what about if you go overseas? Because of the SIM, the eSIM, and not all the carriers over there have eSIMs. Listen, it'll be painful for a little while. It will not last forever. At some point, it will. Although, they said, here's an example. I'm on Mint with eSIM. If I change devices and it's less than a year, I have to pay $3 for the privilege, and get the carrier to issue a new eSIM for you. I mean, again, like I said, for the short term, it'll be painful. Once it's the only thing to do, it will not be painful. It'll probably be easier. So it'll be pain for people who travel a lot in other countries. So countries carriers don't support it. Again, for the short term, it'll be painful. After a while, it'll just be the norm. And then let's see. Oh yeah, the SOS service, which we didn't really talk about. The one thing that's interesting about the SOS service, which sounds amazing, is you don't have to pay for it for 2 years, but how much is it going to cost after that?
I don't know. Now, and is it going to be one of those things? Yeah.
Yeah, I won't need it because I'm not going to go crazy where there's not cell service. But what does that cost, I wonder?
Is it one of those things where if, like, I buy a new iPhone every 2 years, will I still get the two? Will it, like, keep, like, going? Like, oh, yeah, new iPhone, 2 years of free service for this feature. Yeah. Also, how does it check? Like, say you are stuck out in, like, the middle of nowhere and you need it to make this kind of, like, life-saving call. How do you charge a subscription for that? Number one, they can't activate the subscription when they'd have no service, right?
I wish I had thought of this. I didn't get the subscription.
Yeah, like, are you stuck there? And you're like, I have this feature on my phone, but I didn't pay for the subscription, so I'm dead. That's a weird spot.
What if it's pay per use? What if it's pay per use? That makes more sense. Raphael saying that it's $14 per month, but in the case, like, think about it, this is a tragic thing. Someone dies, could have used SOS, ends up dying because Apple wanted $14. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if they thought this out. I feel like that's just like one bad story. They had an iPhone 14, but they didn't pay for the subscription service, and now they're dead. Like, that's a weird situation to be in. I don't know.
Could have been saved, but wanted to save extra money. Yeah, they should just do it by usage or whatever. I don't know.
It's a weird one for sure.
If Apple goes with wireless charging, then no ports now. So people are asking about like the portless iPhone, which, you know, we're getting closer to getting rid of SIM. So that's another thing they needed to get rid of. Headphone jack, that was one thing they needed to get rid of. Now they need to get rid of is the Lightning port, which is, of course, years and years behind everything. We may see USB-C next year, maybe. And then after that, we'll probably be portless. So we'll see. Yeah. Let's see. I feel like it's a life insurance gift. It is. But it says grift, life insurance grift. But here's the thing, Danny, we don't have it at all now. So to have the option, that's what people. So I don't like this comment because it's not an option currently. So it's hardly a grift. It's a gift.
Yeah.
It's an option. And it's something that is great to have. So it's not a grift. It's a gift.
Yeah, like before this, you would have to buy a separate satellite phone and then maybe even pay for a service after that. I really don't know that much about this technology, but you would at least have to have a separate different device that you paid for.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is just kind of like coming on your phone and you could just contact someone from a satellite, I think that's a good thing overall. It would almost be like making the argument that like, oh, I have to pay for a carrier service. That's a grift. And it's like, well, no.
The other thing is I know I'm not leaving my house for the next month, so I don't need to pay for it. Like I'm not going to be in the Sahara Desert, so I'm not going to be paying however much it is, you know? So I don't know.
I mean, you know, yeah, maybe if that's a feature that you like pay for the month, if you know you're going to an area that's not going to have cellular towers.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Trust me. I know I'm not going to pay for it after the 2 years is up. Oh, my camera's being weird. But it's nice for the people that'll need it. It may save some lives. I'll tell you one time, as soon as Apple finds out to save someone's life, you can guarantee it's going to be in an ad. Now, is that a bad thing? Are you profiteering off of something? Or is it a way to let people know that there is a device out there that could potentially save your life? I don't know. I mean, is there something to be said about, because in their presentation, they did a lot of like, this heart thing saved my friend's life. And it was all part of the presentation. And you could say, oh, they're you know, preying on these people. Of course, A, these people obviously were part of the commercial willingly, right? They're there, no gun to their head. But if I'm saving lives with my product, I want people to know about it. So I don't know if you can hate on them for that. I understand that people might be feeling a certain way about that, but it's like, it made me feel good. That whole segment made me feel good. So I don't know.
So when I watched the Apple event, I actually... I had someone visit the studio. I had Patrick over. He was down here for like New York City for something. And I was like, oh, you want to come watch the Apple event? He's like, sure. And he watched the Apple event with me. And we made that comment too of like, you know, we knew instantly when we saw that commercial, we went, there's going to be a certain crowd on like tech, Twitter and YouTube that go, how dare Apple like make us feel bad and take advantage of us by playing on our emotions, by showing all these people. But then these are the same people that go, technology isn't improving and it's not helping out. You know what I mean? Like, who cares about this camera upgrade? The Apple Watch saves someone's life. That's a little bit more like that. Like, we should be touting these features. I feel like that's way more important than like half the other stuff. Oh, the screen resolution. People argue about that for like an eternity. But like, this product actually saved someone's lives. It saved multiple people's lives enough that they felt compelled to write Apple a letter and tell them all about it. I feel like we should be like celebrating that. Like, I feel like that's true technological innovation. It's a lot more important than like 90% of the other updates they roll out to their new products every year.
Yeah. Anywho, I have time for like a 2 minute aftercast, but after that I got to go. So we're going to go ahead and shut this down. A lot more to talk about because next week we'll have our phones and watches and everything else.
Oh boy. Oh jeez.
Greg is going to be spending hours upon hours straight. Make sure you're subscribed to Greg's
Gadgets. I'm already tired. I've already put out too many videos. Much
yeah. Oh my God. Wait until next weekend when you're putting out like 5 videos every 16 hours.
There's like a couple days where it's like, I put out 2 videos a day. And I was like, I want to just go to sleep.
That's what I did. I went to sleep middle of the day. All right, everyone. So listen, we'll be back sometime soon, hopefully. If not, there's probably a reason for it. People here in the chat, hang tight for a second. I do have my outro music, so we'll hit that.
Yeah,
you're prepared. See you guys and gals next week. All right, real quick, just a couple things. Just real quick, talk about what people say in the tent. Elizabeth says someone has to check the battery in a mountain. I was out skiing, cold. Well, I mean, you're in a situation where you didn't have an SOS option anyway, so hopefully it'll work. If it doesn't, you're in the same situation you would be in if this technology did not exist. So
I want to share this. I want to share this with Travis and okay, I guess the GadgetCast audience. Travis, September is a little crazy for this coverage and stuff, for like views and stuff, right? I've done like a lot of like videos that have done like pretty well, like this past month, right?
Yeah,
You know, my last video I released is an 8 out of 10.
Oh, really?
But guess how many views is an 8 out of 10 for this period, which is
after
weird.
How many hours?
It's been 2 hours and 50 minutes.
Oh, geez, that's still new.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, I don't know. What is it?
I feel like this is like this is why tech YouTubers get like depression like in January. An 8 out of 10 for me is apparently 10,000 views. Ooh, which is pretty high. Wow.
That's super high for 2 hours. Yeah.
So I like looked at that and I don't know. I'm like, is this bad? Like, I look at the numbers and I'm like, I'm happy with this, but YouTube is telling me I should not be happy with this. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it.
No, I would definitely feel good about that. All right. Feel bad that the trash man who fell inside the trash wasn't an accident. Was it his coworker? Yeah, that was weird. That was a weird story. I mean, I fell into the trash and I'm like, bro, and you went like on.
I will say there was one of those life-saving stories that I did think actually I was like, I don't know about this Apple as just the company, like the way they did it was some girl like survived like a plane crash with her dad, but they had her sitting in like the wrecked plane.
Yeah,
like, the way they made the set, and the story's fine, like great, but I'm almost like, are you making this person relive their trauma by creating this like realistic set? I don't know if that was a good idea. That might have been a
so
little
weird.
Too much.
So weird. Anyway, so that'll basically be the end of it for us today. Thank you so much for joining us. I have some fun things to do with a friend. I actually have a friend, believe it or not. Super excited about having a friend.
Thought I was
a friend. I mean, maybe. If you can convince Jomo to get us out there. I don't know why he's not replying my texts anymore. Then you will be my good friend. Otherwise, it's always been great to see you guys and gals. Hopefully we'll see you next week. And, you know, be safe. And do all the things. So bye. Wait, which one do I hit? I hit this one. Bye. I hit this one.